Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Gordon Leslie. He's the co-founder of Client Magnet and Conversify. Hi, Gordon. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. Yeah, I'm great. I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me on the show. Looking forward to it.
Absolutely. I'm excited for this particular episode and to learn about, you know, all things, or as much as we can about Facebook advertising. But first, I want to talk about your background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Sure. So, as you mentioned, so I'm a co-founder of a growth agency in Toronto called Client Magnet, as well as a software company called Conversify. They kind of go hand in hand to an extent. We've had the agency for about 6 years, myself and my business partner, Adam. We manage, you know, well over $10 million a year in ad spend, mainly across Facebook and Google ads. We do YouTube and Pinterest and TikTok and Snapchat as well. But the main ones are going to be Google and Facebook. And the way I got into advertising, I used to work as a sales rep at an early stage startup, and there was no, I would say there's no really inbound leads when I was there. So it was a lot of outbound cold calling, a lot of outbound email. It gets really draining doing that all day. So I took it upon myself to try to figure out, how do I generate my own leads? And so I kind of looked at Facebook and I looked at Google, and I was more interested in Facebook. So I decided to start learning Facebook ads. And the way I started learning was creating e-commerce stores and drop shipping products, you know, all over the world. The first store failed miserably. The second store broke even. And then the third store, I was doing like $30,000 a month within the first 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. And that's when I realized, okay, I understand how Facebook works now. And then from there, just, I was doing that for a while, and I had, a lot of people that I just knew in the tech space in Toronto reach out and just ask if I had tips or if I could help with their Facebook ads for their company. And then, so I started doing a little bit of freelancing, and then I found the clients also wanted to do Google stuff. So I met my business partner, Adam, and he does a lot of the Google side. And then from there, we just kept growing, and we like to keep our agency small, mainly because we don't agree with a lot of the things that agencies do. So we don't like to really call ourselves an agency, but we keep it small so we can focus on, you know, 5 to 10 clients at a time, so we can deliver the results that we expect.
What are the things that you don't like agencies doing?
So I did a very brief stint working at an agency, and I found that a lot of agencies, traditional agencies, will price their services based off of the percent of ad spend. So if you're spending $100,000 a month on ads, they'll take a percentage of that to get paid. So the more you spend, the more they make. So if you think of that, it incentivizes the agency to spend money, regardless of result. So what I found is a lot of people, were junior level that never really spent a dollar of their own money on ads, and they would be given a budget of whatever it was, $5,000, $10,000, $50,000, $100,000, and they would spend the whole budget, and then they would adjust. They would then look at the results and adjust. And, I think that's just completely wrong. I think you should take a small portion of that budget, run some tests, take a look at the results, adjust, take another portion of the budget, and continue that process until you find something that's working. Because if you just, you know, do one giant test and spend a bunch of money and then wait for the result at the end, you're going to potentially blow all of your budget.
Yeah, I mean, like the pricing model seems very defective. It's like charging a portion of the client's ad budget. Do you know what portion, what percentage they were charging?
I think it really depends on the agency, but I believe it's anywhere from, there'll always be a minimum. So regardless of your budget, they will always have a minimum that they charge. So let's say their minimum is $5,000 a month. If you're spending $5,000 a month in ad spend, that minimum is going to stay the same. But let's say once you get into the $50,000-$100,000 mark, they might take anywhere from 7% to, I've seen 18% before, or 13%. The higher you spend, the lower the percentage tends to be. But of course that, you know, 10% of $1 million is a lot of money.
Yeah. That definitely is. So, how is your pricing strategy different?
We just charge a flat retainer. There's a few services, so we'll charge depending on the number of ad networks that we're using. So an ad network being Facebook, another one being Google, another one being Snapchat or Pinterest and so on. And then we charge if we're doing creative, but they're just packages of tiers. So there's, if you're doing Facebook, Google and creative, we'll set the amount of creative being, let's say, like 20 images and 10 videos for the month, as an example. That would be one package, and that's one price. If you don't need creative and you only want Facebook ads, that's one price. It doesn't matter if you're spending $5,000 a month on ad spend or if you're spending $500,000 a month on ad spend. Our price doesn't differ. It's the same.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you for sharing that. Now moving to Facebook advertising. Facebook advertising, do you think Facebook, now there are so many social networks, do you think Facebook ads are still effective? And what should be the goals of if someone is launching a Facebook ad campaign?
Sure. So yeah, they are still effective. I think they've got 2 billion users or something like that across their network. So I mean, it doesn't matter if you're targeting just like an e-commerce consumer, or if you're targeting a doctor. Like Dr. Bob is still on Facebook. He just goes by Bob on Facebook. So people are there. It's not as effective as it was 5 years ago, I would say, but it's definitely still effective. And it's going to vary niche to niche. And at the end of the day, what a successful campaign comes down to like two major things. There's your targeting and then there's your creative. Creative is the variable of success, in my opinion, to Facebook. So if your creative is junk and not appealing or not eye-catching or doesn't stand out, then you're going to have a really hard time capturing someone's attention. And in a world where attention is the most important thing, you have to be able to capture their attention. So there's that. Second part of your question was how
what should be the goal of a Facebook ad campaign? Are we talking about sales? Are we talking about website traffic? Are we talking about click?
I mean, it depends on what the goal is for the company. So if you're an e-commerce store, you probably want sales. If you're a SaaS company, ultimately you want sales, but you probably want to generate leads. If you're a blog, you probably want traffic. It definitely differs. What I would say is whatever your end goal is, your goal should be to figure out, especially if you're new to Facebook ads, your goal should be to figure out how much it costs you to acquire that goal. So if it's a lead, how much does it cost you to acquire a lead on Facebook? If it's a sale, how much does it cost you to acquire a sale? And then you start to learn those metrics and you can understand right away, is this going to be profitable for my business or not? Of course, you can always get those costs down. But you know, you run a significant enough amount of tests and you start to generally see a trend of how much it costs to generate that lead or that sale. Then you have a good idea of, is this a profitable platform for my business? And that's typically what we do at Client Magnet with most early stage companies. Our goal is within the first 3 months to figure out what their cost per acquisition is across the variety of platforms. And then from there, is that a profitable model? If it is, let's scale it. If it's not, allocate the funds to a different platform.
Mm-hmm. So the cost for customer acquisition is really the amount you spend on Facebook dollars, on Facebook ads to acquire a particular customer. Can you elaborate on how exactly you calculate that amount? Is it like, do you do like a pilot or does Facebook give you that kind of analytics? How do you get that data?
So let's say you're an e-commerce store. If you're running ads within Facebook, and you spend $100 and you get one sale, then your cost per acquisition is $100. If you spend $100 and get 10 sales, your cost per acquisition is 10 sales. Facebook will, if you set up your tracking correctly, Facebook will tell you how many purchases you got from Facebook from the amount that you spent. So it'll show you the cost per result. Same thing with leads. So if you're trying to generate leads, it's the exact same thing. If you spend $100 and you get one lead, so let's say you get a person's email, phone number, and name, that's a lead. Then it's $100 for one. If you get 10, it's $10 a piece.
Mm-hmm. So Facebook can monitor and tell you how much money was spent before you acquired a customer. They can fund that kind of online activity.
Yeah, they'll show you your cost per result as long as that customer came from Facebook. So to determine if Facebook will track if a person has viewed or clicked an ad and then converted within a 28-day window. So if it's 32 days later and they then purchase, they won't be attributed back to Facebook. You can also view the attribution from just one day of someone viewing or clicking an ad, or 7 days or 28 days. The traditional Facebook attribution window is 28-day click and 1 day view. So meaning anybody that's clicked an ad within 28 days and then converted, or they viewed an ad within a day and then converted. And then they'll track that result. As long as the tracking's set up, they'll track the result. And then you can just look in their ads dashboard to see, okay, I spent this much money, I got this many results. And then you can see the cost per result, which is your cost per lead or cost per acquisition if it's purchased.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So one aspect of Facebook is, it can help you target your ads to specific audiences. So can you talk about your targeting features?
There's a lot of things you can do within Facebook for targeting. So you can target demographics. So you can target ages. You can target genders. You can target locations. You can target, behaviors. So you could target a behavior could be someone that's interested in marketing, or you could target interests. So you could target people that like the Toronto Maple Leafs as an example. There's a lot of different opportunities for targeting. There's also a thing called lookalike audiences, which is, in my opinion, the best form of targeting, which is if you already have enough data, let's say you already have thousands of customers before you started running Facebook ads. You can take the list of those customers, as long as you have their email addresses, and you can upload it into Facebook. And what it'll do is try to match those emails to people that match Facebook profile emails. So they'll try to match them to people on Facebook. And then you can tell Facebook, I want to find more people like them. So I want to find more people on Facebook like my current customers. And so then that's called a lookalike audience. So an example would be you can choose from a 1% lookalike to a 10% lookalike. What that means is 1% of people in the United States that have Facebook that look and act like my audience. That's the closest matching. 10% is the broadest matching. So 10% would be the, you know, a larger portion of people. So there's less things they have in common, less data points they share than the 1% audience, but they both can be very effective.
Uh-huh. So one thing you mentioned earlier is having a good creative, and I want to ask if you can share any techniques to increase ad engagement and click rate for your ads.
I mean, creative is so important. So, you know, test a variety of different types of creative. I'll give you an example. With Conversify right now, we're running a lead magnet. So people who click the ad will get top performing message templates that work on LinkedIn, cold outreach. So that's what they get. In the creative, we've got a bright blue background with a booklet saying the top LinkedIn templates with a gentleman on the front of it. We also have a picture of literally like a fairy tale looking forest. Has nothing to do with the product, but it stands out. that's actually performing the best. That's the lowest cost per acquisition. So things that you think won't work sometimes will work. And it's really just about testing. So there's video content's going to be more engaging, but imagery still converts. So it's really about how you grab someone's attention quickly. And then ultimately from there, if they're interested in the headline and the copy, then they click. And then from there, it's on your landing page to convert them or your website. So a good example would be, let's say you're doing a video. There's a thing called the gunshot technique, which means if you're walking down the street and you hear a really loud bang behind you, you're probably going to jump and turn around and be like, whoa, what was that? Because it captured your attention. It frightened you, but it captured your attention. Where on Facebook, you can do something similar where you'll see people who have videos where there'll be someone throwing a baseball and it hits the camera and it like makes you jump and then it moves right into their video. That first portion has nothing to do with the product, but it caught your attention. That's why you'll see people like Ty Lopez who will flash, you know, Lamborghinis and women and this fancy lifestyle that he may have, because it captures attention. So you don't have to do those types of things. You can use bright colors. You could use a type of image that just doesn't look normal on Facebook. Those are the things that are going to stand out.
Mm-hmm. I guess the key is to be able to quickly get attention because, you know, people are scrolling down. People have short attention spans. So you want to hold them and grab them and gravitate to them towards the ad.
It's easier said than done, but it comes down to someone's going to ask, okay, how do I capture someone's attention? Well, I mean, I don't know your business, so it's tough to give an example, but you just should always be testing. You should always test different images, always test different videos, whatever your creative is. Always test something against what worked or what didn't work and try to improve it. So really, if you're not getting a result, first thing you want to look at is, okay, what is my cost per click? That's like the first thing you need to look at if you're not getting anyone to convert. If your cost per click is really high, then there's only one of two problems. One, you're either targeting the wrong audience. Two, you have the wrong creative. Like it's not intriguing to them. It's not interesting. So you just work on those two things. And if you have a really low cost per click, but you don't have anybody becoming a purchase or a lead, then there could be a variety of other problems. Could be your landing page doesn't convert well, your product might be too expensive, your shipping costs could be too expensive. There's a million and one things it could be, but you're trying to narrow down. If you have a leak in the bucket, where is the leak? That's what you're trying to figure out. And then once you find the leak, you can now test that one problem. So if you know your shipping cost is really expensive, what happens if you put the cost of your shipping into your product price and then offer free shipping? Does that work? So those are the things that you want to try. But creative is how you're going to grab someone's attention, and you need to test a lot of different images and videos to understand what's working.
Mm-hmm. So for the cost of customer acquisition, what's the ideal number for that? Is there a particular figure that's considered really good?
It completely depends on your company. If you sell a $40,000 product, your cost per acquisition is going to be way more than if you sell a $20 product. Mm-hmm. If you're targeting, let's say you're targeting 80-year-olds with some seniors product, or you're targeting 40-year-olds, you're probably going to have a way different cost of a result. So what you want to do is you need to understand, okay, my service or my product costs X. It costs $100. Let's say if someone just organically came in and bought what my service or product for $100, my overall expense is, let's say, $50. So I have a $50% profit margin. So that means you can spend up to $50 and break even on that customer. If you profit $50. If you spend up to $50, you can make $50. So, you need to understand it's going to be unique for every company's product or service. So you need to understand how much you can spend to acquire a customer. The general rule of thumb is if you can spend $1 and make $2, you should spend all of your money. If you can spend $1 and make $3, I mean, you should borrow someone else's money and spend it. As long as you're being profitable. Now, it's going to depend on the company. So an example, you might have a service, subscription service or something. Let's just keep it simple. Let's say you're a freelancer and you charge $1,500 for a service that you charge per month. You start spending money on Facebook and it costs you, let's say it costs you $2,000 to acquire a customer, which is high, but let's just say that's what the cost is. You might think you've lost, but like it's not profitable, but you know now that your customer's on average lifetime is 3 months. So if your customer's average lifetime is 3 months, that's $4,500 is what they're going to pay you. And if it costs you $2,000 to acquire them, you've just profited $2,500. So it depends on the company and the product. As long as you know your margin, so if you know that you can spend X and still be profitable, then you should be spending up to that amount. And sometimes that amount equals more than, you know, what someone pays on a month-to-month basis if it's a service, because their lifetime value is worth 10 times that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. When someone is about to launch a Facebook campaign, how is there a particular budget size that is favorable, or is there a particular minimum amount that should be spent?
Yeah, so unfortunately with Facebook and Google and all these other platforms, you have to pay to play, essentially. And the only way you learn if something is working or not working is by spending money. The more you spend, the more data you get back, so you can continue to adjust. So the more ads you try, the more audiences you try, the more money it costs. But then the more data you get back to understand, you know, oh, this audience worked, but these 10 didn't. Or this creative works, but these 5 didn't. So there's not really a set budget, but I would recommend, depending on the business type, I would recommend that at least $2,500 to $5,000, spend. You don't have to spend it in a day. You don't have to spend it in a month. Just take your time with it, test with that budget, and start to understand what works and what doesn't work. If you have $100 and you want to test Facebook ads, it's going to be very hard, because if you don't nail it within the first $100, then you're going to think Facebook doesn't work. But I mean, it does. So I would say, you know, a healthy starting budget, just to make sure that you get enough data to understand if the platform works, is anywhere from, you know, $2,500 to $5,000. You can technically do it on less. You just have to make sure that you gotta nail all the testing. That's what I'd recommend.
Yeah, I guess one key thing that you mentioned is with these social networks, you have to pay to play. And before I guess you expend all your budget, you want to do some A/B testing, some pivot, and see which creative, which ads are more engaging and have better traction. And then perhaps spend more on those ads, and take it further. So pay to play is a key point.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can share some insights about what kind of analytics and metrics, does Facebook provide to the advertisers? I guess one thing that you mentioned was they tell you about the cost per acquisition. The conversion rates, but if you can talk about some other metrics or data analytics Facebook provides.
Sure. I mean, they provide every analytic you could want, pretty much. They're an enormous company. So they provide, you know, cost per click, cost per 1,000 impressions, which is called CPM, the cost per purchase, cost per add to cart, cost per initiate checkout, cost per lead, cost per completed registration, cost per subscriber. watch time. So what percentage of people are watching 25% of your video, or how many people are watching 50% of your video, or 100% of your video. There's quite a few metrics that they offer. Anything that you could think of, they're very likely going to have it. The things that matter to me are things like the end result. So cost per lead, cost per acquisition is what I care about. If that's not there, then I backtrack and look at things like, okay, what is my cost per click and what's my cost, CPMs, my cost per 1,000 impressions. So if your CPMs are really high, let's say your CPMs are like $100. So it costs you $100 to get in front of 1,000 people, which is high. It means very likely means that it's a very competitive audience, because Facebook ads is an auction. So if I want to target doctors and you want to target doctors and then Sarah wants to target doctors and we all target the same group of people, then whoever essentially pays more gets the head start to get in front of that audience. There's a lot of other factors, but that's how Facebook works. So usually if you're targeting a very competitive audience, it's going to be more expensive to get in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So does Facebook tell you how competitive your space is, or is that something you understand based on your own understanding?
They don't tell you. So it's a little different than Google, where Google will give you roughly like the cost per click it's going to cost. And where Facebook doesn't give you those metrics, you have to run the ads. Because the other thing is, it's a big variable, is if you have a really good creative, a really good offer, a really good price point, service, and so on, say you're the best of the best, you have the best of everything, you're going to have a way lower cost than somebody who has very average creative, a high price point, and average service, even if you're targeting the same people. So there's a lot of different variables.
Mm-hmm. So do you often see ads with poor creatives on Facebook? Do you think brands are lousy when they do their Facebook ads?
Some of them, yeah. I mean, a lot of people try to make a commercial out of an ad, and if you go down to the root of what Facebook is, it's the same with Instagram. It's a place to connect and engage with friends and family. So when something is really high quality, commercial style creative, it's very obvious that it's an ad. Where if you have an image like the one I'm running, where it's very generic, it's a fairy tale forest looking painted image, it could be something that their friend posted, so they might spend time and look at it longer. So there's people overthink creative. You just need to test fast. Even if you find something that works really well, it might not work in 2 weeks because you've reached, let's say you spend a lot of money and you reach a lot of that audience. Now the new audiences that you're trying don't care about that creative. So you have to always be testing.
I guess that's an interesting point. Sometimes people might overthink their creative and make it look like a commercial.
Exactly. Yeah.
Whereas I guess you could try something which is engaging, but also looks more natural, or something that a common person would share.
Exactly.
That could also work. Good tip. Are you able to share some examples and case studies of effective Facebook ad campaigns that you have implemented? Perhaps you can talk about specific clients, campaigns, and any successful metrics that you were able to acquire.
So I can't name the companies because they're active clients, but
okay.
I can tell you a good example from two different companies that we're currently with right now. So one of them was spending about $10,000 a month on Facebook ads before we started working with them. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to generate what's called an MQL. So this is a marketing qualified lead. So there's a lead, and then there's a marketing qualified lead. The difference between those is a lead is someone who's interested in whatever service or lead magnet that you have. And a marketing qualified lead is someone who may have filled out that form, but also match criteria for an ideal customer of yours. So they kind of tick all the boxes. They were paying about $1,300 per marketing qualified lead. And it wasn't profitable for them. So we came in, we did some tests. The first test we did, we were able to drop it to, I think, like $200-$300. And then we were able to continue dropping that down all the way to, after about a year and a half of working with them, we got it down to $35 per marketing qualified lead from $1,300. And we spent, you know, on some months we'd spend $1 million on Facebook ads for them, because that's where their audience was, and it was working really well. That's one example. Creative for that, we tested like everything you can imagine. We tested founder images, we tested illustrations, we tested videos, we tested animated videos, we tested pictures with brand ambassadors, and each of them worked with different audiences. Now, another client was a brand new company, really early stage, and they are a telemedicine company. They're in the health space. And they had, so their, our goal was to figure out, you know, how much does it cost to acquire a customer for them? Because they had no idea. So we started with them. It was tough because there was a lot of disapprovals on Facebook. Only certain types of companies can advertise on Facebook. There's certain types that can't. So there's, you know, pharmaceuticals and things like that is going to be really hard. Even finance is relatively hard. The first company was a finance company that I mentioned. The second one is telemedicine, so it includes pharmaceuticals. And so our goal was to figure out cost per acquisition. We figured it out within the first 3 months. And then over the course of the next year, we took that company from spending $0 on Facebook ads to $400,000 a month on Facebook ads, which allowed them to raise money and continue to grow the business. So those are two, I would say, interesting success stories. I've also, listen, I've tried other companies, I've had other clients that we've tried that just the cost per acquisition doesn't make sense on Facebook. Where we worked with a really high, I'd say luxury high-end cost, like outdoors product that, the cost per acquisition just didn't make sense for them because their margins were so slim. They had a really expensive product, but they had very small margins. So when you factor in the cost for an ad or to acquire someone through an ad, one, you have a very niche audience that's willing to pay this much money for this type of product. And then two, if you don't get that cost per acquisition low enough, it breaks into your margin, then you don't become profitable in that. So for them, we determined, you know, Facebook isn't the platform for them. So there's, you're always going to have wins, but you're going to have losses as well.
Mm-hmm. So does it, can it take like up to 3 months to determine cost per customer acquisition?
It can be less than that for sure. What we see on average is when we work with a brand new client that doesn't know their cost per acquisition, or have any data, we typically say it'll be about 3 months. The reason for that is the first month is really all about testing. So testing platforms, testing creative, testing audiences, landing pages, so on. Then the second month is about cutting out those, you know, the tests that didn't work and trying to scale out the ones that do. So testing against the winning image to see if we can get a better cost, testing against the winning landing pages, winning audiences. And then the third month is about scaling. So, okay, we've understood the cost per acquisition. We know what audiences are working. We have an idea of what creatives are working. Now let's try to see if we can do this at scale. So instead of spending, you know, $2,000, $3,000, $5,000 a month, let's try spending $20,000 a month and see if it scales.
Mm-hmm. So for the creative, is that something you build in-house or is that something that the client builds and gives it to you?
It can be both. We do have in-house creative if a company doesn't have their own designers, or, you know, companies, we work with companies that do have great designers that we use their creative. We'll just guide them on what to create. We'll tell them different themes and ideas that they can go and create.
Mm-hmm. If you mention like founder pictures as an example of something that could be in the ad creative, are pictures of people, including founders, particularly engaging?
If people know who you are. So the founder that I was mentioning is a public figure, so they know who people know who they are.
Okay.
Now, if you're like, if I were to run an ad for myself with just my image, it might not work. I mean, it's worth testing, but it might not be great. One type of ad I ran for the agency a while ago was, it was just literally me and my business partner sitting on a couch in our office, just like a selfie style picture. And it converted pretty well. But you don't want to, you wouldn't be using like a LinkedIn headshot or something like that.
I see. It shouldn't be like a headshot kind of picture. It should be more like the one that you just mentioned, like you and your business partner sitting in an office or something different than a headshot.
Right.
Which might be more engaging.
Exactly.
All right. That's interesting. So this has been a particularly, different and difficult year. Do you see, several businesses or industries experienced decline, but on the other hand, some businesses also experienced some growth. Mm-hmm. So have you noticed any change in Facebook ad spending of companies? Are they spending more? Are they spending less? What do you see any trends?
So highly depends on the company, or the industry, I'd say. So if you're a local business, a restaurant, Facebook works, like it worked to generate customers, but now that, you know, you can't have customers at the restaurant, then it probably doesn't work well. Apps, like we have a client that's a mobile app that is, you can read fictional stories on it. They've exploded. So it just depends. And the telemedicine company exploded because we're scared to go to the doctor's office to go get their prescriptions, or their birth control, as an example. So, instead of going to the office or doctor's office and feeling like you're being exposed to COVID, they were able to just order it through the website, which was approved by a doctor, and then I would send it to their house instead of them going out. So it definitely depends on the industry. I think at the end of the day, if I was a business that had, 30 days of cash flow left in my company, and because COVID has, let's say, really affected our business, if I only had 30 days of cash flow and I knew at the end of 30 days I'm out of business, you can either just wait those 30 days out and just really, cross your fingers and hope it works, which you probably won't in that scenario. Or what I would do is invest all the money I had, like, left over for the business. Don't go bankrupt yourself, but I would invest the money that I had over trying to acquire more attention and more customers. That's personally what I would do. But, depending on the company or the industry, exactly what you said, some companies soared, some companies unfortunately have gone out of business, and where there's opportunity, there's always the opposite as well.
Mm-hmm. And was your specific companies that you mentioned, Client Magnet and Conversify, were they affected by recent events? Did you experience any change?
So Conversify has been great. It's been growing because it's a way to connect and engage with your prospects online. So that's worked quite well. Client Magnet throughout the majority of the pandemic, was doing really, really well. We've seen one or two customers have their own struggles with COVID, and the pandemic with their business. So in return, like they've lowered their spend or they've stopped spending on Facebook ads until things get a little bit better. And that's kind of to be expected. But I would say we're about the same. Climate has kind of just been about the same throughout the pandemic. No crazy ups and no crazy downs, fortunately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good news. Well, Gordon, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about Facebook advertising. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and sharing your expertise and insights.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. It's been great.
You're welcome. You want to share your website? How can people find you?
Yeah, our website for Client Magnet is just www.clientmagnet.co. If you're interested in Conversify, which is a way to engage with your prospects on LinkedIn, that's just www.conversify.ai.
Perfect.
You can always just connect with me on LinkedIn as well, Gordon Leslie.
Sounds good. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this particular episode and you get a chance to learn about Facebook advertising, and hopefully these insights and this expertise will help you grow your business. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.